Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Edge. Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited, sans Marco, on a Thursday night edition. Smack my picks up, of course, with the one and only Proteus's Primetime by my side, the yin to my yang, Prado, the beautiful Pam, who we didn't think we were going to have, and probably the biggest star of them all, guys, the guy that puts the show in time, Showtime. Let's meet the host, guys, Fighting. We always go ladies first, guys, even though she's out of the Blue Devil Blue corner. That's right, I said it, Pammy. You know what? I'm trying to kill it because I'm trying to hear the music in the background. How could you not love that, guys?
Great track.
All right, let's hit it. I mean, that's a little too damn good. The lady who once went out with Grant Hill and Christian Laettner, hit it!
Oh my gosh, good afternoon, or good evening, everybody. Happy Thursday, happy Friday Eve, it's what it is. And hey, Showtime, make sure you let everybody know that I still love Laettner out in Louisville.
Everybody hates Christian Laettner. Christian Laettner hates Christian Laettner. The Minnesota Timberwolves hate Christian Laettner. Fighting out of the red corner, the man who always wears North Carolina blue. Hit it! Oh.
Remix!
Man, where's our boy? I mean, it's all of a sudden, Marco, you know what? I'm going to say it right now. I think Pam put the voodoo doll on Marco.
What's that?
What's that?
Did you?
Did I forget to take the pins out? Let me go check. Oh. I might have forgotten to take the pins out.
Let's meet the star, guys. The guy, the man that not only drives a semi, but has to fill up 120 gallons. Is that what we heard? Hit the music.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You never count your
money. Never count your money. At the table. What's going on, guys and gals?
Hey.
Oh, you didn't do the fellas. Oh, he threw me.
What's going on, fellas? I got to bring that back.
There you go.
What's going on, everybody? Glad to be with y'all.
Hey, we're glad to have you back. And you know what? My bad, Showtime, for whatever reason, and we have a little bit of feedback coming from your end. Sorry.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Showtime, I thought that you were driving down to Houston and helping out with the tragedy that is. So my apologies there.
No, I was just out here and I saw a lot of the trucks actually going that way, and I just snapped a photo of them and put them up. I actually know some people that's down there. It's kind of hard getting on that, man. That pays real good, man, and certain companies already have those contracts. They already, you know, sitting locked and loaded, you know, when disasters happen. And, you know, people jump out there quick just to get down there because they pay you just to sit in one spot. You may sit there with ice or, you know, you may just sit in one spot all day. Or you might sit there for 2 days. You have to bring your food, water, everything with you, and they'll dispatch you whenever they need your load of freight.
Darn. Hey, Showtime, I never asked you this, and we're kind of going off the rails here, but did you ever watch that show called Shipping Wars? Is any of that real?
Yeah, I watch it. It's made for TV, but you know the pretty much the gist of it is real. You know, you look on the line and you see what the load pays, and you got somebody trying to undercut you and underbid you on it. You know, you have to deal with that part of it. But you know, the other parts of it is made for TV to make it exciting and all that.
Damn. Well, shout out to if anyone's ever seen that show, shout out to Jennifer. No one's ever seen her?
She's hot.
Oh, I was going to wait for the music. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no one ever seen her. All right, forget that. All right, let's move on, guys. We got to move on. All right. So let's move on, guys. Let's hit it. We go to the UFC Fight Night. We go Volkov versus Struve, also known as UFC Fight Night 115. It will be held this Saturday. And Tammy will tell you during the time that she can't make it, Saturday, September 2nd, 2017 in Rotterdam, New Netherlands. What was I saying? Amsterdam? Yeah, what the hell's going on there? Hang on. Let's play this for Marco. Thank you, Marco. Good Lord. All right, guys. You know what? Always, every single time we do something and I hear this.
Pretty good.
Oh, my God.
It reminds me of that time that Marco and Proteus. Did you ever listen to that one, Pam? Both of them are talking. He goes, good. Very good.
Do
you remember when he did that? Yeah, he dropped his own drop. Yeah. Isn't that weird? All right, guys, let's get into this.
That's funny. Y'all are crazy. I'm the only sane one. I just realized.
Do you realize that even though you do voodoo dolls, you're the only sane one?
I am the only sane one.
Got it.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that has 5,000 million followers, too. So I guess that we know why.
I guess because
she's the only pretty one. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it, guys. The card that was, this is a true indication, Showtime, I'm telling you right now, this is a true indication that the UFC is full of stars. Volkov versus Struve, Showtime, this is a true indication right here. We don't need Sage Northcutt. We don't need PBZ. We certainly don't need Ronda Rousey. Who needs the one and only Conor McGregor? When we have Brian Bam Bam Barbarina, 28 years young, guys, 13-4. And he will fight Leon Rocky Edwards, 26 years old, 13-3. Barbarina, of course, guys, has 6 UFC fights and is 3-2 in his last 5 UFC fights. Probably best known, guys, for giving Super Sage Northcutt his first loss. Mm-hmm. Leon Rocky Edwards, 26 years young, guys. Edwards is a 7-fight UFC veteran, 4-1 in his last 5, and on a 3-fight win streak. We go to the biggest star there is because Marco's not here. We go to the one and only show in time, Showtime. Barbarina versus Leon Rocky Edwards. What you got?
You know what, man? I think, you know, Barbarina is a, you know, tough, crafty fighter, man. I just think he's going to be outclassed, you know, with Leon Edwards, man. I was looking at the odds on this fight, and Edwards is a big favorite. He's a 275 favorite, minus 275, plus 35. That's basically, you know, what they think of this, think of it as well. I just think he'll get outclassed. He'll get beat up.
So which one are you picking, Showtime? Are you picking Bam Bam or are you picking Rocky?
Rocky.
Do you have a method and a round? What do you think?
I don't think it'll go. I think he'll stop him probably in the third round. Because Bam Bam is tough. Wow. He'll sit there and take a beat. But I just think he'll just get beat. I think he'll get beat and may get knocked out, may get submitted. He's more, you know what? He's more heart. I say heart and guts than he is talent. You know, you know, a guy that's got a lot of heart, got a lot of guts, but he's not the most talented guy. I mean, I love him as a fighter. I mean, but we got to look at who he beat. He beat a very green Sage Northcutt, and that's really who he made a name off himself. Then I think, he went to Brazil and beat one of the Brazilians over there. But the Brazilian had all the talent, but he didn't have the heart. So he's going to run up against a guy in Rocky Edwards that has heart and talent and skill. And I just think it won't go his way.
So the one and only Showtime. Showtime going with Rocky putting the Bam Bam, the hurt on Brian Bam Bam Barbarino. And you know what? You called it right, Showtime, because Leon Edwards is a -275 favorite over Bam Bam Barbarino. So you got that right on the money. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, do you agree with Showtime? Will it be Rocky Edwards or will it be Bam Bam Barbarino?
Okay, I was looking at this and I was trying to do these picks kind of quick, but I'm looking at a little bit at fight history and I'm actually going with Leon Edwards on this. I think if you look at their fight resume, Leon Edwards seems to have just a little bit more experience, but I'm going a decision on this one because although he does have KO power, his last KO was in April, or his last win by KO was April of 2015. And both two of his earlier losses have gone by decision. So I'm looking Leon Edwards by decision. I think like Showtime too. I agree that with Barbarino, Vinny Barbarino, not really. Bam Bam, he's more. I guess famous for his beatdown of My Little Sage Northcutt. So he has the heart, but I think that Leon Edwards is just a little bit more talented and more of a well-rounded fighter. But it should be a good matchup. Both of them are about the same age, same height. Edwards has a 2-inch reach advantage on him, but I'm going with the decision on that one. Thank you very much.
You know what's funny? Proteus, you're welcome, beautiful lady. Not only did the Showtime choose Rocky, saying of course that Bam Bam has more heart than he does talent. You know who said that to me as well, Proteus, about my radio career? Not only did they say I had a face for radio, but they also said I had more heart than I did talent.
Oh,
ba-doom boom.
That's so crazy.
All right, they're really bad, right? All right. We go to you, Showtime. I mean, we go to you, Proteus. Do you agree with Showtime and Pam? Will it be Rocky Edwards demolishing Bam Bam Barbarino?
Well, listen, I think that, and I'm going to reference this interview with John Gooden a couple of times in this show. I apologize to everybody if he gets sick of me referencing it, but I thought that Mr. John Gooden, follow him on Twitter at John Gooden UK, brought up a lot of good points in this fight, you know, because he is the person who is closest to these fighters that are fighting out of the UK. He brought up a lot of good points about Leon Edwards. He's a very tough fella and he's, you know, very focused on what he needs to do. And Barbarina, as you guys are saying, is very popular for beating your boy Sage, who's getting $80,000 per fight, just so you all know. That's what he's getting. Sorry about that. But I think this is going to be much more hotly contested than we think it's going to be. I mean, Leon Edwards does look like a beast. And, of course, it's pretty much on his home turf because I think it's only about an hour difference from where his home is, or maybe it might be even the same time zone of where he's training out of in the UK. So Barbarina having to travel from his hometown, from his home gym. Of course, he's fighting out of the MMA lab, and we know that, you know, a lot of killers come out of there, but he's going to have to travel a lot further for this fight. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens because the guys, I'm going to be honest with you, the pre-fight media that they came up with today, no one seemed to want to excel or shine. There was just a bunch of mean mugs coming out of there. But listen, guys, this is going to be a good fight. I said to John Gooden when I interviewed him that this was the perfect fight to be exactly where it is. And we've talked about curtain jerkers on the main event on this show many, many times. And I think this one's going to deliver, or hopefully it will deliver, because both of these two guys are surging. They're coming up. They're very good fighters, and they're very talented. I had a very hard time, as Pam was saying, that choosing a winner of this fight, only because I think that Leon Edwards is going to have the hometown advantage. He's going to have less stress on his body. I think Leon Edwards is going to take this. He's probably going to take it early, second round TKO. And I wouldn't be surprised if Barbarina proves me wrong, to be honest with you, DJ Tony. Take it from here, please.
All right, guys, I'm going all across the board, guys. I think everyone's going with Rocky Edwards. Showtime choosing Edwards. Pammy choosing Edwards. Proteus choosing Edwards. And I, too, guys, I'm choosing Rocky Edwards via – you know what? I don't think he can finish him Showtime, and it's not because he's not talented. I just think, like you said, Barbarina has a lot of heart. I think he's going to get rocked. I think he's going to look worse than I do on a Saturday night. So I'm choosing Rocky Edwards via decision. I'm going with Pam on this one. Guys, let's move up. No one even liked that worse than I did. Really? Crickets all the way across the board. Damn it. You guys clearly know that I'm not following –
we're just trying to give you the respect that you deserve, DJ Tony.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll give myself the crickets. All right. You know what? Clearly, I'm not going to be following Big Brown with some sort of comedic career. All right, guys, let's move up. You know what, Proteus? I'll tell you one thing right now, Showtime. I'm not sure we should be playing this song right now. I think, you know what, I think is a better song to play for this fight?
TJ, who's your mama?
We go to the women's bantamweight, we go. Exactly. We go to the women's bantamweight, we go. It will no longer be GDR. I think she's fighting Cyborg in a movie theater somewhere. Talita De Oliveira, the Oliveira. Bernardo, I don't know how old she is because I couldn't find it anywhere, guys. That's how I literally looked up. I Googled her. And you know what they said, Pam? 30.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah,
exactly.
She's 30.
How old is she?
Yeah.
All right, 30 years young. Do you know what she looks like? Because I don't even know we can play Careless Whisper.
Like a shadow?
Yeah, no one knows.
She's fantastic. No, if you look at the video from MMA Junkie that our boy, it wasn't Sandu, but there was a video from MMA Junkie that was put out that she's looking fairly good. She showed up in a very nice dress. You should check that out, DJ Tony, before you judge.
Well, let's start this over again. To the women's Batman weight we go. Talita De Oliveira Bernardo, 30 years young. 5-1. She's 5'3", guys. Small for the bantamweight division. But after I researched MMA Junkie Radio, rather MMA Junkie, I found out that her first fight was 2.5 years ago. Her lone loss, of course, her second fight 3 months later. And, of course, she's been on a 4-fight win streak. But has only fought once since 2006, Showtime. Only once. And she will fight friends of the show, Marion. The Belizean Bruiser ring, the first lady, guys, to ever compete in the UFC at the age of 40. 40-year-old Renault, 7-3-1 out of the mean streets of Visalia, California. Guys, how could you not love Marion Renault? Seriously, how could you not love Marion Renault? We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Bernardo or will it be Renault?
Okay. You know what? If you look at this on paper, you look at, you know, Marion Renault, she's 40. She, what was the last fight with Correa was a draw. So I'm kind of looking at it. It was a draw. Then you're looking at this other girl, Talita de Oliveira, blah, 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 blah. 30 years old. She's a jiu-jitsu fighter coming off of 4 wins. She's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. She's a Muay Thai fighter. And I just think that probably, I haven't seen her fight, but I'm just kind of going by what I'm looking at here on paper. And keep in mind, I didn't have a lot of time to do my research. But I'm going to go with Talita only because I think she's younger. I think she's fresher as far as energy, and she's younger. She's only 5'3", but she's got the same reach as Marion has, and although Marion is a ground fighter, Talita's got 4 wins by submission. So I'm going to go with Talita, and I'm going to do I'm going to say second round submission.
Wow, second round sub of Showtime going with the one and only, wow, Talita. I don't know what she looks like, but I did my research, and I think Proteus told me she's okay. We go to you, Showtime. Will it be Talita de Oliveira Bernardo, or will it be one of my favorites, Miriam Renault?
You know what? I think this is a big fight for Marion Renault, man. I just look at the level of competition of who she's fought, man. And I look at who this other young lady has fought. And this is her first fight in the UFC, man. With me being a betting man, I'm not going to bet against Renault on this fight, man. I think this other chick is small, and I think she'll just grind her out. I think it'll be an ugly fight, most likely. And Renault will find a way to just grind her out and find a way to win this fight. This would be one of those fights that, you know, it may get boring. You know, maybe a lot of rolling around on the ground and seeing who can advance the positions and stuff. And I looked at who she had fought, man, and I'm just looking at the experience that Renault has. And it's not like Renault has looked, you know, she's looked bad. You know, in her fights, I looked at her past 4 fights she had. It's not like she's looked bad. And, you know, 40 is the new 30, man. So I'm going to go with Renault by, you know, in the decision. She's a big fan. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. She's a minus.
No, go ahead. I mean, we rely on you for this.
But now I'm going to say this. On another hand, now on the opposite end of the stick, this is one of those fights that you just want to throw something against the wall, you know, with the young lady being a +260 dog. You know, if you want to make a little parlay with, you know, her, Barbarina at +235, that, you know, that would be an interesting little parlay to put together. You know, they're both live dogs. I mean, I had a chance to watch her a little bit earlier. I just think the experience, man, sometimes it's hard to bet against these wily vets, man, when you got a wide open. The UFC is a whole new ball game, man, than fighting in some small fight league, some local league. It doesn't even matter now if you're fighting in LFA or some of their mid-level,
that's true,
you know, fighting organizations. Now, it's nothing like fighting for the UFC, man. Nothing like it.
I agree with Showtime. Yeah, I'm actually going to go with Renault, and I'm doing a quick pick. You know why? Because Marco found out that Showtime was on the air with him and said, wait a second, I want to get in on that too. So let's call Marco from Waco.
Hello.
It's about time. Thanks for missing your show. All right, Marco, you're on with Showtime, the beautiful Pam, Proteus, and of course, me. We're on women's bantamweight, Talita de Oliveira versus Miriam Renault. But before we go into that, your pick on Bam Bam Barbarina and Rocky Edwards.
Let's make it easy. Barbarina, the prospect killer. And I'm really down with this kid. He shows a lot of heart. The kid is legit, man. I mean, win or lose, Lewis is your honest fight. I do not know anything about his opponent, so I'm gonna pick the known commodity. I'm gonna pick Barbarina by TKO on the second.
All right, and to the women's bantamweight, we go Talita de Oliveira versus Marion Renault. What you got?
Well, come on, Marion Renault is our girl, man. I'm not gonna pick against our girl, so I'm gonna pick Marion Renault in a unanimous decision. We know this is a short notice for her opponent, you know, because Germaine Durand to suck. Germaine Durand to suck, you know. Hurt herself.
Wow.
She pulled out of this fight, and honest to God, her opponent is an unknown commodity. Renault always comes to fight, you know, to get our support because she's friend of the show. I was gonna pick her against Durandami anyway because you know I'm not gonna betray our girl, so I'm gonna pick out Renault on a unanimous decision on 30-27.
Wow. All right. So, Proteus, do you agree with – actually, Pam is going the other way. So, Showtime and I and Marco going with Renault. Proteus, what say you?
I mean, as Marco has said, it's a late replacement. You know, and Renault is a very talented individual, and I have her at a minus 275. Showtime, did you give the odds on Bernardo at all? I asked you earlier and I didn't hear if you put those odds out there. Are there any odds on her?
Yeah, it's on my site it's Renault -320.
Damn.
And yeah, it's Renault -320.
Okay, wow. Okay, so you don't have really any odds on Bernardo either. Okay, so that's fine. All the sites.
No, he did. He said a +260. Proteus, he said a +260 for.
Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough. That's fine. See, this is why Showtime has his own show called Hold the Line on the Amp Radio Network. Okay. I'm still going to take Renault, though, guys. I think Marco, when he came in, I think everybody's saying the same thing. Late notice fight. Renault is a known commodity. We don't really know what's going on with Bernardo. She looked good in her dress at the weigh-ins or at the whatever media event that they did earlier on. I thought she was holding her own on that front. But I'm going to take Renault, and I'm probably going to take Renault early. I don't know how much training Bernardo has been doing, you know, leading up to this fight. So you got to take the known commodity. Thank God we got another star to come into the women's bantamweight division, hopefully. But I'm going to take Renault. I'm going to take her early. I'm probably going to take her in the first by, you know, I think it's going to be a submission, to be honest with you. I think Renault's just going to, you know, do what she does and take that down. Do you guys want to move on to the welterweight belt here? With Bahadrasada and versus another late fill-in Wilkinson. Another thing that John Gooden was telling us about Wilkinson is that, you know, he's no joke. I mean, we have to take these guys from Australia seriously, I think. I mean, with Bobby Knuckles coming out of Australia and, you know, training with these guys, hopefully sparring them
Bobby
on
Knuckles.
To do new things. That's right. Thank you, Marco. I appreciate that. I always appreciate a Bobby Knuckles shout out. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, Zahir Bahadurzada, I hope I'm getting that correctly. We call him the Great. He's fighting out of Afghanistan versus Rob Wilkinson. We call him the Razor. Coming out of Australia. Bahadurzada coming at us with a record of 22-6-1. Woo! Watch out now. And of course, Rob Wilkinson, a huge startup coming at us at 11-0-0. However, of course, we know that he's being called up.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Thank you very much, Tony. As I was saying, we got him getting called up from the regional circuit of Australia. Of course, he's training out of the Hybrid Training Center. I don't know exactly where that. Oh, Hobart, Tasmania, apparently is where this gentleman is from. Who are we starting with?
He just did that. We are going with Showtime.
Showtime, take us to the bridge.
Hey guys, this is a very, very close fight, man. Wilkinson kid, man, I was doing my research on this kid. He's the fucking truth. You know what? Australia, that's maybe an interesting little hotbed right now. For getting some hot fighters. You know, if we look at the old man, Kelly, you know, he's the older guy, but you know, these young kids, man, Bobby Knuckles to be one, and you know, with him training with this kid, man, for him to be a replacement, and he's a plus 120 dog. That's basically giving him a lot of respect, man. So, Bartolzada, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
I don't think any of us know.
He's a minus 140 favorite, so this really is a close fight. I mean,
damn.
With the way this line, this is a very, very close line. I wouldn't be surprised, though, with what I saw with the Wilkinson kid. I think I'm actually going to pick him in this fight, man. Because the kid is explosive, and he's fucking built like a brick shit house, man.
Pam, do you want to go next on your pick?
Sure. Yeah, so I was looking at these two, doing a little bit of research, and I had a question on this because I've got one site has Bahardozada at 170, and then one has him at 185. So is this a catch weight? Is he fighting? Stop it! Stop! Is he fighting at 185? Is it?
I had him in the middleweight.
It looks like 185, Pam.
Okay. Okay, because Sherdog has him at 170. Yeah, Sherdog has him at 170, and then UFC has him at 185. So that was my question. But regardless,
May I interrupt you just for a second?
Sure.
When I spoke to one half of the commentary team a week out from the fight, they did not know. A lot of information. They knew that Wilkinson, I'm speaking of John Gooden, of course. John Gooden didn't have a lot of information. I don't know. It says here on the UFC.ca website that they're going to be fighting at 185.
Okay.
That could be wrong, though. That could be wrong. Because when I spoke to John Gooden on last Saturday, we were still going with, you know, Abu Azabar in this fight. Now they've changed it. So, Pam, we're going on whatever information we have right now.
Okay.
Before you go, Proteus, who else is in that middleweight division?
Chuck away.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so I was doing a little bit of research, and Bahardozada. Okay.
Exactly.
Five of his last six wins have come by TKO, by KO. He's a wrestler, striker, jiu-jitsu. He was coming off a seven-win streak and then had two losses, but those losses came by decision. But then you're looking at Rob Wilkinson, 6'1". He's got an 80-inch reach, which is 6 inches more than, did I do that right? No, 8 inches. 8-inch reach advantage. Oh, my God. 8 inches. What the French? Anyway, 25
Excuse
years old.
Excuse me, bitch.
Oh, my gosh. I am taking him. He's a ground and pounder. Not like the same ground and pound as George St. Pierre. I am taking him a first round KO, Rob Wilkinson.
Wow.
Look at Pan getting impressed by 8 inches.
Yep. Hey, man, inches matter. Those inches do matter.
Do they? Do you like a big? Anyways.
And that ground and pound, that matters too.
Please, before we get an X rating on this show, can we go to Marco, please?
Marco.
Oh, wow. Goodness gracious.
Okay. Did we lose you?
No. But you
Marco,
know what? We didn't. Marco, let's do this right. Before we go any further, we didn't do this right. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, dude. Now I'm going to do my pick. I cannot go with Bajarrasara, man. He has been super, super, super inconsistent on his USC career. Plus, he likes to steal Gucci purses, you know, and go to jail for that. And then on Europe, if you remember that little incident he got a couple of years ago. I don't know what is on this kid's head. I mean, he famously reported that if he lost his last fight, he was going to retire. So I don't like him mentally. I think physically speaking, this kid Wilkinson is a specimen. He got all the attributes, you know, to be a new breed, you know, especially up there on New Zealand, Australia, and Tasmania now. I'm thinking Wilkinson, dude. I don't know too much about the kid, but I like the intangibles. The guy's undefeated. Like I said, he's physically been like a brick shed house. He got the reach. He's going to get the weight advantage because if this fight is a 185, Bajarrasara has historically fought a 170 his whole career, and he's going up in weight against this monster. I don't like the odds for it. I assume Bajarrasara is going to get knocked out, and he's going to get knocked out on the first real quick, like, by this case, so I'm picking Wilkinson by first round knockout.
Oh, like me. And bueno.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good pick. It's an unknown commodity, and that's the problem. Bajarrasara has been off for so long. He's had a spotty career since he went to jail. This Wilkinson guy does look tough, man. He doesn't look like he's being fazed. I looked at the interview that they did, that MMA Junkie did with Wilkinson, and he doesn't look fazed by the pressure. I mean, I guess there's not a lot of people there. There's not a lot of media there. He just doesn't seem fazed. He seems like he's dialed in. Bajarrasara was wearing his sunglasses at night. No, I apologize. That was just a music reference. But he's wearing his sunglasses inside. I'm never a big fan of that. You know, if anybody's been listening to this show for a long time, you know I'm not a big fan of that. I don't know, guys. I'm going to go with the known commodity. I'm not saying that Rob Wilkinson won't pull off the win, because as John Gooden told us, we need to take these guys from Australia very seriously. And, you know, with the addition of Bobby Knuckles, Marco.
Bobby Knuckles!
Oh, boy. I love it. This is going to be fun in the future. I think we need to take this guy seriously. And I think you guys are right. I mean, he may be the bigger guy. And I think you guys have kind of swayed me here. I think I'm going to reverse my pick. I'm going to do a DJ Tony and sit on the fence and wobble off to the other side. I'm going to take Rob Wilkinson as well. I'm going to take him by KO in the first, just like he's saying. Or
all
sorry,
right.
You son of a KO. Bitch.
I'm going to take him
right.
By KO in the second, like he has been pronouncing that he's going to do. KO in the second, Rob Wilkinson.
Thank you, dummies.
Okay, brilliant. So Showtime just sent me a text message, and I'm just trying to respond to him. Let's go into our sponsor for this main event. We are lucky to be brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sinks, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out the Tribal Design, Spikes Design, or Puzzle Design, just to name a few. Check them out at www.lovasi.co.uk. And let me spell that for you. That's www.lovasi.co.uk. And you can figure that part out. And, of course, they are now shipping to the USA and Canada.
Do you have one?
And put in the promo code FANGO, F-A-N-G-O, for 25% off. Pam, you would be very interested in what they're selling. Let's move into the main event. Volkov. Thank you very much, Tony. Appreciate that. And like Alexander Volkov versus Stefan the Skyscraper. True. Tony sent me the order here. I'm just going to go back and Marco, what do you got for the main event? And I think, Marco, this is a very, very good heavyweight tilt. Let's see what you have to say, please.
Here we have the former Bellator heavyweight champion in Volkov versus one of the two guys that holds a win over the current UFC heavyweight champion, Stipe Miocic, on a Struve. Let's not forget, he knocked out Miocic back on the day.
Damn.
I like this fight. I like this fight a lot. And this is not the 240-pound Struve of the past. This is 285-pound Struve that had to go to 265 now after he got his heart issues resolved. The guy put 40 pounds of muscle. He's a monster now. Now, he's a little bit more sluggish, but he was more nimble at 240, but he packed more of a punch now. He was a little bit more agile on his back when he was lighter. I think he's a little bit more stiff now. Volkov is a good striker, but I don't know why I like Struve. I think Struve is coming into his own. He's still on the right side of 20. He's only 29. Impressive record for his age, too, 32-6. So a lot of MMA fights in his career, never mind his kickboxing fights. I'm going to ride with Struve. I think he's finally learning how to jab and use his reach better. If he's go to the ground, I think he's a superior grappler than a Volkov.
Mm-hmm.
And Struve has been susceptible to two knockouts before. Enter Mark Hunt that broke his jaw with one punch a long time ago. But it hasn't been the case lately. I mean, he has been able to hold on. He got TKO by who was it? Overeem, I think. Whatever. I'm feeling Struve. For what it's over, I think he's coming into his own. He's still young. He's getting better. Volkov is a good striker, but if it goes to the ground, it is Struve fights to lose. I'm going to pick up Struve on a third-round KO. He's going to be able to touch Volkov and, hurt him and then timber. Two very tall guys, 6'7 and 6'11. One of those three is going to fall, but I think Volkov is going to be the one that's going to fall. So I'm picking Struve on a third-round KO.
It's a very, very interesting fight, Marco. And I don't know, Pam, if we can bet against the odds, right? We've said this many, many times on this show. Pam, let's throw to you. Who do you got going into this main event of USA Fight Night, Volkov versus Struve, coming to us from the granddaddy of them all, the Rotterdam Ahoy Arena in the Netherlands? Pam.
Well, I know one thing, both of these guys are going to have no problem with altitude. Anyway.
She's on fire.
So, you know what? This is like a fight of freaking giants. Oh, my gosh. He's 7 foot oh. Okay, 7 foot. Alexander Volkov is 6'7". Both of them. Struve's got an 84-inch reach. Volkov, an 80-inch reach. 29 and 28. One is striking in jiu-jitsu. One is kickboxing and submissions. One's got 17 subs, one's got 18 KOs. It's like complete opposites. But you know what, Stroop, I'm still kind of a little bit concerned about his cardio and his health. And although that he is one of the few to take out Miocic, that was 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago. Alexander Volkov does have 15 first-round finishes. He's coming off four straight wins. The two losses that he did have were by decision. And he's a black belt in karate, brown belt in karate, BJJ purple belt. He's got all these accolades. I'm going with Volkov, man. I'm doing a second-round KO, TKO on Volkov. I've got to go with Volkov on this because I'm still, like I say, I'm still kind of a little bit concerned about Stefan Struve, his cardio, his health. Like Marco pointed out, he's not as agile as he could be. I mean, you know, to have to cut weight down to, what is it, 265? Dang.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big, I mean, granted he can carry it, but that's a lot of meat to be moving around. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of carne. So I'm going with Volkov, second round KO, TKO.
Okay, Showtime, we're going to throw to you. There's a lot of meat jokes going on here. There's a lot of jokes going on here, but as John Gooden pointed out, I mean,
alternative facts.
This is very important.
What are you talking?
Thank you, Johnny. This is a very important fight for Stefan Struve, and I think you would agree, Showtime, that you know, Stefan Struve coming off of what he's on two win win streak. This is very important for him to stay relevant, and of course, as I said to John Gooden. Showtime. This is a, you know, he's not going up against, you know, just a cupcake. I mean, Alexander Volkov, as everyone else has said, Bellator champion, yada, yada, yada. He's a killer. We'll throw to you, Showtime. What you got on this one?
The odds on this one, Volkov is a minus 120 favorite, and Struve is a plus 100 dog. In this
Damn.
Fight. So
that's a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, man? I was just really just trying to break every angle of this fight down, man. And I was just thinking about Volkov basically with his leg kicks. He got some nasty leg kicks, you know, with him being able to touch Struve up, you know, with trying to chop him down. But I just think right now, man, Struve is just going to be a much larger man, and I think he's going to lay on in the world. And if, you guys are right. If Struve can take this fight to the ground, it's going to be over because Struve is nasty on the ground. You got to think, man, when you got a guy that's 7 foot, man, with arms that long, he can catch you in any type of move, man, and submit you, you know, just by the sheer reach. So, I had to play around with it and really just make a decision. I think I like Struve, man. I think Struve by submission. I think he'll find a way to submit him, you know, within that 5-round fight. The only thing that scares me, Struve, is, you know, he's 29, but he has a lot of wear and tear on that chin. So
yeah.
I think if he can find a way to get this fight to the ground with, you know, I think he will. I think he'll be able to win it just with his size and strength.
I watched the weigh-in video or whatever promotional video they put out today, and Alexander Volkov is not kidding around, man. That face-off, that stare-down did not look very friendly.
You mean a stare-up?
I don't know. Yeah, just a little bit, though. I mean, it's not a big stare-up, Pam. It's really not. I mean, you would have to stare up a lot further than I was standing in front of you. If I was standing in front of you and you were looking in my eyes, you'd have to look a lot further up than Alexander Volkov has to do to Stefan Struve. Yeah, why would she be looking in my eyes, right, Tony? Goodness.
I'd be looking up at your nose here.
Anyways, Thank you very much for everybody putting it back into the gutter again. I was trying to be professional. Anyways. Tony and I are going to go with Alexander Volkov. We're going to go by Alexander Volkov, first round TKO. I think that Volkov is on a surge right now. Even though Stefan Struve, honestly, guys, and I said this on the interview with John Gooden, I think Stefan Struve is one of my favorite fighters. I'm just very frustrated by the fact that, you know, a big guy is trying to get used to his body and he just can't do it. I mean, 32-8-0 is not a non-impressive record. And I would not be, you know, surprised if Stefan had progressed further than he has shown us in his previous fights. But he hasn't really shown us anything really, really, you know, to write home about, for lack of a better word. Or better words. I think Alexander Volkov is coming up real hard right now, guys. I mean, as Pam says, we don't bet against the odds. I'm going to take Alexander Volkov, so is Tony, by first round TKO. Thank you very much, everybody, for the odds, or Showtime for giving us the odds. It's a very close fight. Like I said originally, I mean, I don't know who's going to win this fight. It's going to be a very, very close fight. And I said on the fight with on the program with John Gooden, this is a heavyweight fight that you want to pay attention to. I know it's coming at you very, very early in the morning on the Pacific Coast, so maybe you guys can get that on the replay, or if you're a Fight Pass member, watch this fight because I think it's going to be good. And if it doesn't turn out to be good, Twitter is going to let you know. Previous to that. All right, we're almost at the end of the show. Guys, let's throw to DJ Tony. He's got some hot topics that he wants to talk about. DJ Tony, take it away.
Hot topics.
All right, look.
Hot topics.
Oh,
hot
you guys. Topics. You guys. Hold on. Danny Okers is going to throw it to us.
All right, guys, coming up at 10. Stand by.
Thank you.
Oh, wasn't it his birthday?
No one likes that.
Wait.
And Marco.
Danny's birthday earlier on, and it was Marco's birthday a couple of weeks ago. Happy birthday, Marco!
Oh, Marco! Happy birthday!
You guys are late.
No, feliz cumpleaños.
Aaron from Minnesota, Marco, wanted to. Yeah, Aaron wanted to sing to you. Thank you, Aaron.
Oh, thank you.
All right, guys, let's get into it. True or false? That's right. I think we called Rhonda, too. Right, Rhonda?
I don't care.
Thank you. All right, guys, let's get into this.
Congratulations.
Let's put a bow on. Yeah, let's put the bow on this, though, Showtime, because I want to throw to you. Everyone has called in except for Pam and Proteus to sort of put the bow on this, but I want us to officially do it on our show. Showtime. We start off with you. We saw, of course, Mayweather versus McGregor. I think it was more than just a boxing match. I really do. I think it was a lot of things coming into play. But let's put the bow on this. What say you, Showtime? What final reactions to Mayweather versus McGregor?
You know what, man? I think it was. I think good for boxing and MMA, man. It was a spectacle, I must say that. But I mean, you gotta look at it, man. If these numbers are right, man, if they had 6.5 million buys and you had millions of people stealing it, probably with fire sticks and all kind of crazy websites, man. That's crazy, man. I mean, you had to say it was success, regardless of what you think about it. I mean, Conor, you know, held up and did good for MMA, and Floyd basically showed why he's 50-0. He's able to solve any freaking puzzle you put in front of him. It's almost like playing chess. You know, he know how to move and move and move, and then he'll put you in checkmate at the end. So I think it was very good for both sports, man. I don't know how many cross-promotion fights we'll see with boxing and MMA, but I think it served a good purpose. Because just think, if we didn't have this fight, well, you got the Canelo and Triple G fight coming up.
This has been a boring period for MMA. So we really kind of needed this fight for combat sports, man.
Totally agree with Showtime. Totally agree. Marco, we go to you. Final word on McGregor Mayweather.
Billion Palooza, man. They made so much money. 6.5 million pay-per-view buys. The other number that you got to throw away up there is 10 million illegal downloads. That is how much this was watched, man. That is $1 billion in lost revenue because people, you know, just stole it. That is how much interest this fight got. And it's a good thing. Even with the people that stole it, you know, it make a lot of money for McGregor, a lot of money for Mayweather. It drove a lot of attention. I tell you right now, whenever McGregor fights again in the UFC, it's going to be a big event. It's going to make a lot of money. And he's calling out Nate Diaz. I like it, you know. Never mind the kerfuffle we're going to have for the interim championship in a month or so. I like it. It's good for everybody, dude. You can't be mad at the fact that McGregor, a guy that 5 years ago was catching welfare checks, is now to get more money than God. You know, he can buy his own company now. Good for the guy. You know, he won the game. And he's going to keep winning. And the more he drives the numbers for the UFC, it's going to be good for everybody, because now he can drive the prices for the fighters, at least the ones that are at the top of the food chain, you know, they can start demanding more money. Nate Diaz already is talking about getting paid $20 million for the trilogy. He's not going to get $20 million, but I guarantee you he's going to get $5 million to show plus pay-per-view. I guarantee you that much. He might make $15 million on his next fight with Conor, and that would be an awesome page for Nate Diaz. Conor's going to make $30 million. And that is always a good thing, because everything trickles down. So good for boxing, good for MMA. And you know who's pissed off? Oscar De La Hoya, because nobody's talking about Canelo Triple G.
I agree with Marco. I agree with Showtime. But I tell you one thing, one person that's not going to agree. Let's throw to Pam. Pam, final word on Mayweather McGregor.
Oh, I'm glad it's over. Now, here's my question that I have to throw in this little kind of thing. These crazy money fights, and if you want to go back to, now that we hopefully get back to normal fights in MMA, and we're talking about all these crazy money fights, so what happens to the, real sports fans or real fight fans that support the fight? What happens when the price of tickets go up to like $1,000 per ticket?
An $80 million day tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, here's the thing though, Marco. On TV, that thing didn't look good, right? I mean, there was nobody there. We hear the reports coming out that the elite of the elite were there and nobody else. I mean, and this is what I've been saying for a while. I don't think we even need to, you know, care about how many people are there. I mean, it's on TV. It's on pay-per-view. If we're going to go with pay-per-view, that's where the money's at. And of course they sold a lot of high priced tickets to a lot of high priced people. If you looked at the airport that was in Las Vegas, if you had a private jet, you could not park it in Las Vegas because there were so many private jets there.
See, that's why
I
didn't go.
Exactly. That was not for us. Again, we have to get used to the fact that the WMG, IMG people, the Empire, are not selling this shit to us anymore. They're just not. Hang on one second. Just let me finish, and I'll go back on mute, and you can say what you want to say. They're selling it to the rich people, right? Because this was an event. This was an event that the rich people wanted to see, right? This is also apparently an event that a lot of people wanted to see, not only on pay-per-view, but if we're to believe the numbers that are coming out of Lord Dana's mouth, that a lot of people stole it as well, or so to speak, stole it. If this is this event will probably, if it does end up, Tony, being the juggernaut that everybody, all the promoters are saying it was, we'll never probably see this again. So, I thank you all very much for wasting your money. Was it worth $100? My question to you.
Yes, it was, and no blame the UFC on this one. It was Al Heyman and Mayweather Promotions and Showtime that controlled more than 80% of the promotion. The UFC, that got little to no control of the gate price or anything like that. And it happened in Pacquiao, too. In Mayweather Pacquiao, they did a $72 million gate. Boxing events historically, especially mega events, have been like that. The UFC biggest event as of right now is the one they did in Madison Square Garden at UFC 205 with Conor McGregor and IDS2 that pulled out $18 million on the gate. So still we're not close to what, you know, this big mega event did in boxing. But you will see more gates that are close to $10, $12, $15 million in MMA. But you're still not going to price that out because the mechanics of the economy of the UFC is to be more fan-friendly than boxing. That's what they should see more than boxing does. Some events are going to be more expensive than others. I mean, plenty of events, man. The pay-per-view, usually you got to spend more money, and the ones in Vegas are very, very expensive, but they're not out of reach. When it comes to boxing, though, it's a little bit more far in between, dude.
Let's go to this Showtime. Yeah, Showtime. Where did you see it?
I watched it at Buffalo Wild Wings. I paid $20, and I got there at 7:45, and I had to sit at the table with three guys I didn't know, and it was packed. There wasn't no more room there by 8:30.
See, I agree with Showtime. Listen, I think it was worth. Listen, we paid $100, and lo and behold, we had people knocking that day. Our neighbors wanting to come and watch it. No one wants to come watch any MMA fights. None of my neighbors care about any MMA fights. We haven't had any big boxing events. I'll order the boxing event too because I'm a boxing fan. This was. I know Pam didn't want to see it. I know Proteus didn't want to see it. A lot of people saw this, guys. And believe me, it was an event. I agree with Proteus. I don't think we'll ever see anything like this again. But I think it was certainly an event, and it was an event that lived up a little better than I thought it would. Guys, let's move on to this. Top 26 started, guys, and I see a lot of people bagging on it. I'm not one of those, but I will ask you this. We're going to start off with you, Showtime. In a year, how about this? In 6 months. After the top 26 finale, next when it gets defended, who will be the women's flyweight champion? Because I don't think it's going to be anyone coming out of the top 26 cast.
You know what? Wow. I'm going to tell you this, man. Out of this cast, my favorite person on the show is the Happy Warrior. I love her, man. I love her, man. She's a sweetheart. I think she's actually a sleeper on this show. And with her experience, I think she has a good chance of winning this show. I mean, I don't think any of these chicks, I don't know. I like Roxanne Modafari. I like her as far as winning this show. I like her eyes.
But do you think Showtime that she's going to be the champ? When in a year, let's just say a year from now, is anyone in this cast still the champ? I don't think it will be.
No, because see, this is the thing about it. We don't know who's all going to move in this weight division. That's why it's kind of tricky to kind of say what's going to happen, because you got a lot of chicks that are finding out that they're too big, they're too small. You got people, you know, shuffling, you know, moving weight division. So I don't know. We'll just have to let it play out. Maybe I can answer that question in about another 3 or 4 months. I might have a good answer for you.
You got it. We go to you, Pammy. Pammy.
Well,
the top 26.
Last night. Did you get my text last night?
You did. I did, yes.
You know what? I'm kind of like with what Showtime says is you don't know because it was talking. They were talking because I did watch it last night, and they were talking about how some of the girls had to move down and move up, so they're moving up and down because they don't really know what weight they're going to be fighting at. You know, in the end, so I don't know. I think we're going to have to just kind of wait it out to see who wins, and you know, kind of a little bit see what happens after before we can finally say, okay, yeah, this girl, she's going someplace, and this girl, she's not going to do so well, and send her to Bellator or send this one to Rizin. I think we're going to have to wait to see how everything plays out because they're all so different, and some of them have their strengths, some of them have their weaknesses, some of them are going to get weeded out right away. So I think it's just we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
Marco, everyone's being very, very PC. So, Marco, okay. I'm going to go to you on this.
Full disclosure, did not watch last night because I forgot.
Ouch.
I cast a review on MMA Junkie this morning, but I like Chota, I do like Roxanne Marafari. She contended for the Invicta, you know, flyweight championship, you know, not too long ago. And her skills and fighting like you had improved on leaps and bounds. I mean, her striking, she used to be, I guess, just known for her grappling. Like, she was just a grappler. Now, her striking has become close to world class. So I think she's going to come out the winner of this thing. I mean, she's a fan favorite. She's, you know, everybody got a soft spot for Roxanne Marafari. But I think she's going the way of Carla Esparza. She's going to be the inaugural champion. And then some other girl, maybe like a Jessica Andrade, that happens talking about going to 125.
Oh, that's a good one. Even
even better. Joanna Jędrzejczyk wants to move out to 125 and become a champ, you know, be the champion at 115 and 125. So either one of those two. And if Joanna does, she becomes the queen of the world. Because, you know, I'm a Joanna Violence fan. So, yeah, a year from now, none of these girls are going to be, you know, champion. They might be contenders.
I agree.
They created this division for that reason. All 16 of these girls are under contract right now. They are not going anywhere. They're not going to Invicta. They're not going to get caught. Once the season is over, they're going to all be run from 1 to 16 on their in the USC rankings. So they're all going to be contenders to get recycled for Joanna Jędrzejczyk to beat up, you know, at 125 too. And what is her name? Chechenko have talked about going down to 125 and, you know, meet Joanna at 125 for the belt eventually. Because, you know, that is how far ahead we're thinking about it. But, yeah, I'm going to start watching. I think Roxanne Marafari is probably the most qualified and the best fighter there on the show. She got experience with the show because she did it before when they introduced the 135 division. So, yeah, Roxy, I'm riding with in the Roxanne Marafari train, you know, the Happy Warrior. And after that, let it play the way it's going to play.
Prados, obviously I know you don't care about tough. I obviously care about tough pro. What say you? You know what? Marco, by the way, came up with a good one. JJ, you know what, guys? I got another one. How about Claudia Gadella moving up in weight? But Proteus, what say you about this? Who will be champ in a year?
I think I have to agree with a lot of what Marco has said because this is a new division and there are a lot of girls that are going to move. Sorry, women. I apologize. I'm trying to be PC. There are a lot of women.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, you're okay with that? I'm fine. There are a lot of girls that are going to move from...
I was just talking about meat and inches, so come on.
So there are a lot of girls that are going to move from... thank you, Tony. There are going to be a lot of girls that are going to move from 135 to 25, where they should be, where they should exist. We have been saying this, Marco. I'm going to get excited. I apologize. There are
meat and inches.
Been saying this. Yeah, thank you. 7.5. Okay. There are a lot of I got totally distracted. Thank you, Pam. there are a lot of girls that are going to move from 135 to 125, and they're going to have an advantage of those over the girls that are coming up from 125s. Tony, we were talking about it earlier on. Paige Van Zandt, sorry, this was off air. Paige Van Zandt moving up, right? I mean, what's that going to do? What's that fight going to be like? It's going to be crazy. It's all going to sort itself out. And you know what's exciting about it, guys? Is that the women's divisions are going to develop. Like you said, Marco, yep. These girls that are in the house right now aren't going anywhere, right? This is the division right now. They're all going to fight each other no matter what. This is just as what is going to happen, and we're going to see, you know, a reality show edit of how their time went. I really don't care about the Ultimate Fighter. I think it's very exciting that we're starting 125s. I've said this on this show plenty of times. I'm so glad that the women who can't make 135 because they're too small and they can't make 115 because they're too big will have a division to fight in. And we are going to see new fights. We are going to see great fights. And guess what? I'm going to predict that the next big champ comes out of the women's division. The next big star will come out of this division. It may be JJ. It may be JJ. But it may not be JJ. You know what I mean? I think that Joanna Janjacek has a very, very good chance of winning that 125-pound title. But I think she's going to have some competition up there.
All right, guys. Let's
real quick question. What are we going to do at Ultimate Fighter to find 145-pound women so Cyborg can beat them up?
Record scratch.
But the deep division it is. All right, guys, let's close on this. By the way, shout out to Tub 26. I'm watching, and it has nothing to do with Rachel Ostovich. All right, guys, let's get out of here, guys. But before we get out of here, I have one last question. You guys got to be quick on this one, guys, because this is we're playing this with the music. All right, guys, to close out the show. Showtime, I'm going to throw to you first. PBD versus Jessica I. Why is this fight made? Who has the edge on this fight? Because I'm not sure who it benefits.
I like Paige, man. I think Jessica I is a little bit overrated too. I'm going with Paige with her sexy self.
That's right, Pammy. Who I guess is benefiting from this fight, PBZ or Jessica?
Paige Van Zandt. Easy.
Wow. All right, Proteus, before we throw it to Marco, who do you think is benefiting? Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you, man. I'm not going to take Paige at all. I think the bigger fighter is going to win this fight.
Yeah, I don't know why this fight was made. So, Marco, close out your show, Marco.
I am taking Paige Van Zandt because she's on the better chance. For whatever reason, she's more aggressive and she likes to take a fight to people. If anything, she's tough as nails. If you want me to close, I'm going to close right now. Follow me, I'm Maldo Marco. Follow Tony DJ Tony. Follow Pama Pandora Box. Follow Producer Da Produce. Follow Showtime at,
and
what is your handle, Showtime?
Ramondo.
There you go.
Ramondo.
Follow. There you go. Follow the show, that another MMA cast. Rate and review us, Knuckleheads, because we need the rate and review. I didn't know we got sponsors now, so we're getting bigger. The bigger, the better. We're going to meet you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.